Sounds good to me.
We're honored today, all the way from northern reaches of Allen Park. We brought in a guest speaker, referred to by the mafia as Sammy the Bull.
Sammy the Bull.
Sammy the Bull. All right, Sammy, who would you like to open up? And
Ka.
We'll get going here. Who?
Ka.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here this morning and allowing us to hear this word from your servant. And Lord, we're thankful for how you've bestowed your grace upon him and everyone here. And just speak through him, teach through him, and allow us to be glorified at your last day. So in your name, I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
So I want to do a little recap of what Donovan and Ed taught on the last couple weeks. If you guys remember, Donovan spoke on the difference between wisdom and foolishness, and how when you're a wise servant, you build on the rock of Christ, and when you're a foolish, you don't. And how he's the centerpiece to our life. And
I'll give you the high side. Just keep talking.
So Donovan spoke on laying the foundation of Christ. And then Johnny Lindenbauer spoke on, if anybody doesn't know, his name's John, because we were on a mission trip. The Lord gave me a scripture for Ed, and he told me he was John and I was Peter. And if you heard last week, he put me on blast. And he showed how I like to rush into situations. Well, he used the example of how Peter had to jump in the water. He had to jump in. And you know what? My response to that is, Johnny, because I want it more, baby. You can't keep up with me. You can stay in the boat, but I'm running to Christ. Yeah. All right. There. I ain't telling that example, all right? There's too many scars for that. All right, so John spoke on the lawsuits against believers. And there's divisions in the church. And he spoke on love and how love, when you're acting through love, when you have love inside of you, divisions can go away. And it's a way to get through those problems and stuff like that, how to reach out to one another. So I started thinking, man, there ain't really nothing else to teach on in Corinthians. They took all the good stuff. I mean, that's it. The only thing that is left is, well, there's one on tongues. I mean, I speak in tongues, but I ain't touching that. I'll leave that to Pastor Don. There's principles for marriage. Well, I can only tell you what not to do. I mean, I make too many mistakes.
That's the most important part.
Yeah. Right. There's head coverings, and all you guys know I came from, Islam, and so I could talk on that, but I don't think I really should. And Candace, when we were getting married, her cousin approached me, and she's like, and I love her to death, she's just, trying to protect her cousin, be protective. She comes up to me, she's like, I really want to talk to you before you get married. And I'm like, Amy, you've known me for 10 years, what's this about? She's like, I want to make sure you're the right guy for my cousin. And I'm like, all right. So we go to Tim Hortons, and we're sitting talking, and she's like, so what's your plans for Candace? And I'm like, well, my plan is we're going to move to Lebanon. I'm going to convert her to Islam, and I'm going to make sure she wears a hijab. And she's like, what? It threw her all off guard, and I'm like, I'm just kidding with you, Amy. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim, blah, blah, blah. So, that's a little story for head coverings. So I was praying, and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What scripture do you want me to teach on? He took me to 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13, if you guys want to turn there. And what it's on is on judging. You see, at the time, there's a lot of Corinthians who were judging those outside of the church. And Paul addressed it, and so I want to cover that a little bit today. And a lot of you guys know there's a thing that happened in the week. Bruce Jenner. I ain't calling him by his female name if y'all have heard of it. All right. And so I'm sure you guys are going to hear about it through the week, through the next couple of months. I think he got some award, Courage Award or something like that. But I hope that today we can look at it through a different perspective and understanding that, that is wrong. But how do we approach it? How do we go at situations like that? Because he is in the world. He is not in the church. So let's read. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13, if you guys are there. I think it's on the screen. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that not even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have gone in the morning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this? For my part, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit as one who is present with you in this way. I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus on the one who has been doing this. So when you are assembled and I am with you in spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you already are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread, leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of the world who are immoral, or the greedy and the swindlers or the idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, slanderer, a drunkard, or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. All right. So after reading this, you might think that that's a harsh word from Paul and kick the guy out of the church. But when we learn God's ways and we have God's word on our heart, we understand that there's certain things that need to be done to advance the kingdom of God. So when we see this, there's two ways I want you to try and take this message. It's as a whole congregation, but individually. You know, there are things that need to be kicked out of ourselves that we keep allowing to be in us. All right, verse 1 through 2. I'm going to read it again. It says, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that's not even of the pagans. So this shows that they didn't directly tell Paul. They didn't come to him and say what was going on. They didn't bring that forward. It says, it's actually reported of you. So Paul found out from another source that this was happening, and now he's bringing judgment upon him. It says, I've already judged him. I've already told you what you need to do. I want to look at this word verse 2. It says, you are proud. So how many of us have felt like we're doing the right thing? We're serving God wholeheartedly. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome. And God's really like, no. Look what you have stored in your heart that you constantly keep trying to cover up with how great you're doing. You keep walking, you know, acting like you're all tough and bad when really you got that, you know, stuff inside of your heart that you're hiding. And Jesus, he's greater than Paul. He knows everything in and out, and he's already identified that and already cast judgment on that inside of you. But are you willing to rip it out? Are you willing to be obedient to Christ to pull those things out? So let's look at this word.
Sammy, I think that's a great point with what you just said about this Bruce Jenner thing. So many people, even churches, are proud of their tolerance.
Yeah.
You know, pride is a good thing if it's towards the right thing. I think about 15 times Paul says, I'm proud, but he's right. Talking of other people,
right.
Things that God has done. But be proud of your tolerance is ridiculous, isn't it? But we see that. People, well, yeah, we have a couple gay people, you know. Like it's a
yeah,
couple it's token gays in the church,
it's
right?
Messed up, yeah. All right, so this word, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this site before. It's called the Blue Letter Bible. But I think each one of us need to at least have a fundamental understanding of the Greek and the Hebrew text. And so this site helps you. You can actually, it has an app on your phone. I've shared it with some people. I think Ed has it and Stephen Donovan use it. But it actually allows you to go to the word, look at the pronunciation. You can hear it. And then, Ed, will you scroll down for a second? I'll show them this too. It shows right here, puff up. That's the word for proud. And it shows you where it's used in Scripture. So if you're like, hey, he used this word, you know, I wonder where else that's used at. What's the context of it? It'll take you to these other verses. And this helps you get a more understanding of the original text. So could you scroll back up for me? All right, so the word proud, all right, it means to go down, right? Yep. To inflate, blow up, to cause to swell up, make proud, be puffed up, to bear oneself loftily. All right, so you can see proud means you're puffing yourself up. You're trying to make it seem better than it actually is. So what are you guys trying to cover up? You know, think about that. You don't have to raise your hand and share, but every day, what are you trying to cover up? You know, when I first started dating Candace, a lot of you guys have heard this story. You know, there was sin, and we covered it up like crazy. We, you know, there was stuff that a lot of pagans didn't tolerate that we did. And I look back and I'm like, man, I wish I would have exposed it sooner. I wish I would have allowed God to rip that thing out. I wish someone would have caught me so that it could have been kicked out sooner. You know, obviously God can restore, and I'm blessed where we're at today. But that's just an example that we all have things that we try to cover up and make seem okay. You know, I had people in the church at that time telling me, you guys are just an awesome couple. You guys have God in the center. And looking back, I'm like, no, we didn't. Like, we were covering things up and no one knew, you know, except for Christ. Verse 5. It says, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. This word right here, flesh, it's the Greek word 4561. It says sarx, the sensuous nature of man, the animal nature with cravings which incite to sin. The flesh denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature of man apart from the divine influence, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. So Paul is saying, listen, this man is living in the flesh. He needs to die. Not his soul, not his spirit, but his flesh needs to die. I tell you what, if we don't hate sin, our flesh will keep living. And it'll keep growing and getting bigger and keep consuming us. And so we have to have a hatred for our flesh. We have to have a hatred for the desires of this world. You see what I'm saying? You see the point that Paul is trying to address here? When you live by the flesh, like a lot of the scriptures say, there's no life. There's nothing. And a lot of churches, like Bob was talking about, they tolerate it. They say it's not that big of a deal, but it is. And Paul's saying right here, look, we're not going to tolerate it, and you need to kick him out so that he can repent. And the whole point is to bring him back so that he can start serving God the right way. You want to say something, Pastor? I figured you did. He gave me the look.
Yeah, I want to caution everyone because I've heard it throughout my life, and I know people, when the Bible speaks of the flesh, that doesn't mean that your body, that you reject everything. And that, you know, and when it's speaking of the flesh, it's speaking of going beyond God's borders that he has established for your life. So in the area here, it wasn't that sexual intercourse was wrong. It was wrong outside of the parameters that God had set. Within it, it was completely acceptable to be enjoyed. So a lot of churches think that they're getting close to God. Everything is of the flesh, and that the body is to be despised and not taken care of and rejected. And that really is more Greek type of thinking. So God is, you know, your makeup is spirit, soul, and body. Your body, you're to take care of it. You're to honor God with it. And within God's parameters, things are acceptable. I mean, you could use eating.
Right.
You know, you
go
outside eating too much, that's wrong. But within it, it's to be enjoyed, and God is to receive glory for it. So there are so many Christians, I know, especially when they get saved, you hear, well, you're in the flesh, or that's of the flesh. They have no idea what they're speaking about. When Paul's speaking here, be very, very careful, like you were saying, that it refers to going beyond the established guidelines that God has established. Once you cross over that, the flesh begins to dominate.
Right.
Within that, satisfying the desires of the flesh, there's no problem because God has ordained that.
Right.
And so you have to remember that. So don't get caught up in this goofy thinking, well, I use an example real quick, you know, watching a television show. Oh, well, that's a flesh. Well, obviously there's television shows you shouldn't be watching. They're not going to do you any good. But in itself, okay, or food or drink or whatever it might be. So be very careful there, that you understand what God allows and what he prohibits. And obviously here he prohibited this man having sexual relationships with his you know, Father's his wife. Mother, your stepmother is basically what it was. And right, we find in the Old Testament laws against that. So that's all that Paul was really referring to. But if the man was married and was having relationships with his own wife, no problem.
All right, let's go to verse 6. It says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch. I have here, if you don't deal with it, it will affect the whole congregation. You know, if we have people like that who, you know, the pastor say is okay, it's not a big deal, pretty soon everybody will think it's okay. And then the church, that's why we see a lot of churches that are okay with certain sin, are okay with, you know, gay people being in the church and, you know, being deacons and pastors and stuff like that. And it's scary because it infects the whole congregation and it allows your thinking to start thinking that that's all right.
You know, years ago we had somebody that was really tossed out of this church. He was involved in a very horrible crime. Ended up going to another church. I contacted the pastor at that church. You know the first question he asked me? Does he tithe? Yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm going, what's that got to do with it? This guy's in sin. We as a church have investigated this. This is a judicial decision we have made. We ask you to honor and abide by that. You think they did? No, they welcomed him into fellowship. And so it shows you there, you know, that this was a serious thing. And within right. a year or two, the same sin that this guy was involved in
did it again.
Now came into that church, infected the church, and destroyed a lot of people's lives. Yeah. So, you know, we're not playing church.
Right.
We're trying to do what God has called us to do. Amen. And there's those, you know, the times you got to make very difficult decisions. You don't make them just offhand, but you have to realize it's really for the good of that person trying to bring them back to a place
right.
of repentance. But
yeah.
churches today, like you were saying, Sammy, you'll be more than amazed how many come on in. They don't, you know, they don't want to know anybody's background. They're not going to check them out. They're not going to call the previous pastor.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, I do. Somebody comes in here, I'm going to find out a little bit about them. I want to know where they come from. Why'd you leave the church that you were in? All those different things kind of gives you a little map to follow and saves this church from a lot of headaches down the road.
Who'd you call when I came to the church?
The imam over there on
the imam of the laundry.
Nah, just kidding.
Hold on, Sam.
We kind of say, Pastor, that, you know, the church shouldn't allow gays in. I mean, if somebody's a gay, you know, they say, okay, no, you're not allowed in my church. But, you know, you find someplace else to find out what you're doing wrong. But we're not going to teach you. We're not going to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. All sinners are welcome here.
Right. Amen.
Okay.
That's all we got here.
That's all how we got here, okay? The thing is once you make a profession of Christ, then your life needs to begin to change. Okay? And it doesn't matter what somebody struggles with. The church's job is to disciple them and to work with them and to counsel them and pray with them. So if somebody comes in and they come from a homosexual, guess what? Hey, they may struggle with that for a while. Okay? We're not pulling them up and tossing them out. But we're going to sit down and talk with him and pray. Now, if it persists over a period of time and there has been no effort, then you have to take steps. But it doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
The church is to welcome them in and to work with them. And all of us have been called to what? Repent.
Yep.
That means change your mind, change your actions. So that's the job. It's to clean you up. You know, when you went into the military, they didn't say, hey, Roger, okay, well, you're ready for battle, are you? No. What did they do? They tore you down. They changed your mindset, okay? And then you became ready for battle. And for all of us, it's a process. So it doesn't matter if somebody having a struggle in that area or they're struggling, maybe they're a gambler, maybe they're drugs, whatever it is. The church is called, it's like the hospital. You bring them in and you begin to get them better. And it's a process. Some people have left an addiction problem and right away. Others struggle with it for a while,
yep.
Okay? And others might struggle and just give up. When they give up, that's when you got to kind of step in and, you know, begin to bring corrective measures.
And also, that's why Paul in that scripture says, I'm not talking about those people in the world. I'm talking about in the church. And that's one of my, I don't know if anybody else has a pet peeve, but it irritates me so bad when I hear someone talking to somebody else, you know, and they're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, blah, 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 this, this, this. And then 5 minutes later, I hear them cussing somebody out and then talk about they're going to go home with their girlfriend tonight and have fun. That drives me insane. I hate it, because I hate seeing someone bear the name of Christ, because why would the world want to change if they think that the church is the same way as them? You know what I mean? I mean, that's the point that he's making. There has to be a difference. The church is set apart. So, Ed, if you could play that video for me. This video is called God's Scalpel. And so when you... Oh, is it not ready? It's about 9 minutes long. I wasn't sure if I was able to play it, but I really felt like God wanted me to share it. So it's a good video. I hope you guys get something out of it. And it's all about allowing God to change you, allowing God to use you as his masterpiece, to go into the world, because that's what we're here for. We're here to be changed by God. We come in, we're messed up, like Bob always talks about. I came in with ripped shorts and half sandals and stuff like that. We come in beat up, but we come out clean, a changed people, a masterpiece of God.
You're a perfect example of that.
Barely.
To be in a correct place to do that. Just to give an example, my lovely wife and I knew this guy that was a member of a church here in the Downriver area. He asked us if we'd like to see around the place. We were being escorted kind of around the place. And I noticed over at the back there was two kids. I looked, they're all hugged up. We got a little closer through the church, and it's two girls, and they're, ooh. And he's not saying anything, so after we got past him, I said, did you see those two girls kissing? Do you guys tolerate? Oh, we don't tolerate that, but, you know, kids will be kids. And walked on. Now, what good is not tolerate it when you're tolerating it? No, we don't believe in that, but it's okay if they do it, because kids will be kids. Now, would you go a place like that to get cleaned up? You got to be careful where you go to get cleaned up. Don't wash yourself in the Rouge River.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, that we're, in essence, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso, you know? But I want to be a masterpiece. I want to be everything that God has created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, God, do whatever it takes to get things out of my life that don't need to be there. Mold me into the image of your son so that I can be your masterpiece.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you just said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? If I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I really don't want to do that.
See, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
Yes, I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're God... Who's going to win the World Series this year?
You know what? I'm not so much into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yep, I do that, don't I? Get it again. Step right up. Here we go. Okay. All right.
Hey, yeah. What's this about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right?
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Here we go. Step right up. Here we go. All right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
How do you know what to chisel and what to leave?
I take out all the things in your life that aren't of me, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of that, could you chisel right in here? I just can't get rid of it. I mean, the other went away, but this, I mean, I've tried exercising, I've watched what I ate, I even did Pilates for a while. That was awkward. But if you could chisel,
all
I mean, right?
Can I talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, most of my children just like to talk.
Not me. Bring on the chisel.
Here we go. All right. You have a lot of anger.
Ow.
Some pride.
Ow.
Compare yourself to others instead of me.
Ow.
You're lazy. But you pretend like you're really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Okay. Time out. I do not have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Okay. Wait. Maybe we could take a little time out. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good.
You are doing good, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay. then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and others need to see my son. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Don't take this the wrong way. It's just that when I start looking more like your son, people get uncomfortable around me, you know? I mean, even my friends at church, they're all like, oh, you're holier than thou. Why won't you do that, you know? I mean,
so what you're doing right now is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
I did not say that.
That's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. I mean, you know everything I'm thinking. I'm just saying, you've done good work. Maybe we take a little break, a little time out, then we'll come back to
it. What you're doing right now is so common. What you're doing right now is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel.
Here we go.
Yo, can we chisel where I want them?
That's called control.
Okay.
You've been holding on to this for a long time. You ready for this? Hurts. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Ow! I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, and expecting different results. And there are the things in your life, you even think back to high school, that you've been doing that do not work in your life, but you go to these empty wells whenever you're hurting, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely and tired, but they do not work.
No, okay. I'm thinking maybe we could...
Thoughts are not my thoughts.
Oh, okay, but if we went another way...
Your ways are not my ways.
Okay, well look, I can't be good.
You can't be good. I've made you good. Be good. What?
Nothing.
What is it?
You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just... God, I've let you down so many times.
No. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand, and don't you forget that. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Away.
All right.
Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because God, I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And it is this scared little kid who gets up every day and tries to dress like an adult and act like an adult, but I can't. So just be prepared for what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that are not of me. You think you're junk, don't you? You really, really, really think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't make junk. What does that say about me? How can I show you that my love for you has no boundaries? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I was just saying, God, I'll do that right now.
You were just saying my name in vain.
You know what? It's a name, it's a saying.
It's more than a name, it's more than a saying, it's more than a bad habit. It's a name above all names. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket. You know what that is?
This is a page from a journal I had when I was younger. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie Holland.
Other side.
Sorry. I married her.
I was there.
Oh, yeah. Dear God, today I am turning everything over to you. I'm not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you will make me your masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how it's possible, but I want that with all that I am. So please do whatever it takes to make me what you want. I love you, God.
I love you too, Tommy. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at.
So this salvation that you hold, don't let it be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And don't compare yourself to someone else, because that is just trivial nonsense. You are my original masterpiece. You are one of my workmanship, and you I find favor. This, don't look at this as a prison, but look at this as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, it'll be tough. But you bought into the lie, thinking everything was going to be easy when you said yes to me. It's not how it works. I want you to do something. I want you to look up there, and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy...
No. The way you see yourself, or you yearn so much for others to see you. But the way I see you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
So are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
So with that in mind, I want you guys to think about it today, this week. What are things that you need to cut out? What are things we need to change, go in a different direction? Allow God to shape us and mold us. Allow God to cut out of our lives so that we can be that masterpiece, so that we can go into the world and change it, so that we can go to those Bruce Jenners and show them the love of Christ and show them that there's a greater way to show people the one true God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for every single person that was here today. God, I pray that we will go change today, Lord, that we will allow your spirit to change us from the inside out, Lord God. Father, I pray that we walk in faith with our eyes fixed on you, that we will have the eternal mindset, Lord God. Change us, mold us, shape us. We love you, God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.